Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from The Voice of America. I'm Brian Lynn.
And I'm Katie Weaver. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak slowly, and we use words and phrases, especially written for people learning English. Coming up, Ana Mateo presents this week's Words and Their Stories. Ashley Thompson brings us Ask a Teacher. And we close the show with an American story. Today, we hear the tall tale, Paul Bunyan. But first, this report from Andrew Smith.
When voters go to the polls in Brighton, England, on July 4th, they will get the chance to elect what some people are calling the first artificial intelligence, or AI, lawmaker. Businessman Steve Endicott is running to represent his area as a member of Britain's Parliament. During his campaign, he has used AI tools to present voters with an electronic version of himself called AI Steve. The electronic image is known as an avatar. Voters can communicate with AI Steve through a website powered by Neural Voice, an AI company. Endicott is the company's chairman. Endicott, aged 59, said his idea for the AI avatar came after he became unhappy with the way standard politics in his area operate. So he decided to run for office in a different way. The AI system permits people to ask questions and offer ideas to AI Steve. The real Endicott can look at these ideas and show them to experts, and, if elected, to other members of Parliament. Some of the issues brought to the attention of AI Steve so far include waste collection, immigration, housing, and LGBTQ rights. Endicott bases the process on a research method called crowdsourcing. That means collecting ideas from large numbers of people to reach better solutions to problems. Endicott told Reuters news agency he thinks using AI to gather more ideas from people supports democracy. He thinks this will help politicians know more about what people want and need. He added that he hopes to get more politicians to use AI in the same way. "We're launching a party. We're going to be recruiting more AI candidates across the country after this election," Endicott said. "We see this as the building block for something big and something democratic," he added. Aid worker Iona Johnston, aged 23, agreed with Endicott after meeting him. "We're using AI in so many areas, at work, social interactions. Why don't we put it in politics? It might change the way we live," she said. However, not all locals think using AI will improve government policies. AI and politicians have one thing in common, local resident Andy Clausen, aged 42, said. "They can't be trusted." Endicott is a member of the political party Smarter UK, but he decided to run as an independent candidate. That means his name will not be connected with any political party on the ballot. The Labour Party and the Conservative Party are the two most influential political groups in Britain. AI Steve is the name that will appear on the ballot. But Electoral Commission officials have made clear that if AI Steve wins, Endicott would win the seat in Parliament, not any AI version of the politician. I'm Andrew Smith.
This week on Ask a Teacher, we answer a question from Edilson in Brazil about the difference between though and however. Hi, this is Edilson from Brazil. I follow Ask a Teacher, and I love the way you approach explanations. I have a question. Could you please explain? What is the difference between the use of the words though and however? Thank you for writing, Edilson. This is a good question. Though and however are words that show a relationship between ideas. Often, they both express a difference in two or more things. For example, John is nice, though he's not as nice as Michael. Sophia wants to be a teacher. However, her parents want her to be a doctor. Sometimes the words show a difference that is not expected. For example, Mohammed makes me angry sometimes. I like him, though. The team did not win the competition. However, they are happy they played well. They have a similar meaning, but there are differences in how and when we use these two words. Though can show that one idea is not as important as another. When we use though in this way, we use it after the main idea. For example, the event was fun, though I don't know why. The most important part of the sentence is that the event was fun. We use though a lot in spoken English, and it is very common at the end of a sentence, like in the example, I like him, though. We can use however to emphasize a difference. For example, I always feel busy. However, I am not as busy as you. However is very common in written English. In spoken English, however, can be used as a more forceful way of saying how. When we use it this way, we stress the second part of the word, ever. For example, however will I choose? There are other differences between these two words, but we can talk about them another time. We hope this explanation helps you, Edilson. Do you have a question about American English? Send us an email at learningenglish@voanews.com. And that's Ask a Teacher. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And now, words and their stories from VOA Learning English. On today's program, we visit the world of performing. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, you're too kind. You're too kind. Whether you are seeing a play, concert, or movie, it is important to be on time for the show. The word showtime means the scheduled time a show is to begin. For example, if you go to a movie theater's website, you can get a list of show times for all the movies playing. The meaning of showtime is simple, but we often use the word in an interesting way. When we say, "It's showtime," we usually are ready to start something big or important. And it does not have to be a performance in front of a lot of people. It can be a big presentation for work or school. It can be something that you worked hard at and now you are ready. It's showtime! We use the expression not just to say something has started. We also use it to suggest that we overcame difficulties and challenges along the way. Or we had to follow a long process. For example, to produce this program, I first research the expression or idiom. I find definitions, examples, and sometimes similar words. Then I send it to the editor, who checks for content and errors. After that, I find pictures to go with the lesson. Get the music ready. I'm now ready to voice and produce the lesson. It's showtime! Performing in front of people can make even brave, confident people nervous or scared. So you can also use the expression, "It's showtime," before starting something that you are nervous about, like a confrontation or argument. You need to plan what you are going to say and prepare yourself emotionally. Then when you are ready, it's showtime. Let's say you want to ask for a raise at work. You plan what you are going to say. You practice in front of a mirror. You comb your hair and straighten your jacket. You feel confident. Now you are ready. So you say to your reflection in the mirror, "It's showtime." Now, let's hear two friends use this expression.
Hey, where have you been? I haven't seen you in weeks.
I have been preparing for something really big and really important.
Sounds exciting. What is it?
Next week, I am showing my invention to a group of investors. I'm so nervous. In a way, they are holding the future of my business in their hands.
Are you ready?
Well, for my presentation, I have a very detailed business plan, market research, and a prototype of my invention. I even bought a brand new suit. Come tomorrow at 10 a.m. It's showtime.
Well, good luck.
Thanks. I'll need all the luck I can get.
And that's all the time we have for this Words and Their Stories. Until next time, I'm Anna Mateo.
We just heard Anna Mateo tell us about the expression, "It's showtime." Now let's welcome Anna to the show. Anna, it's showtime.
It most definitely is. And thanks for having me on your show, Katie.
How would you describe the expression? It's showtime.
That is such a great question.
Thank you.
It is an important question, too, because words, expressions, and idioms have different tones, meaning they give us different feelings. So I would describe the expression, "It's showtime," as very dramatic and theatrical. After all, it does come from drama and theater. If you use it, just know that you might sound a little dramatic and theatrical.
When do you use the expression?
Well, this expression is also versatile, meaning you can use it in many situations. It is a bit informal, but it also fits well in a formal work environment, too.
So, Anna, do you have performance experience?
I do. And this is just one of the expressions that come from the world of performing.
What others can you think of?
Well, we also say the show must go on. This means that no matter what difficulties you run into, you still must do certain things. And in theater, if you are scheduled to perform, the show must go on. That is why there are understudies. Understudies study other people's lines and roles so that if something happens, the show can still go on.
Thanks for the chat that brings our show to a close.
Thanks for having me, Katie. It was a lot of fun. Oh, I thought of another performance expression. This one from movies. That's a wrap.
VOA Learning English has launched a new program for children. It is called Let's Learn English with Anna. The new course aims to teach children American English through asking and answering questions and experiencing fun situations. For more information, visit our website, learningenglish.voanews.com.
And now, an American story. Today, we tell a traditional American story called A Tall Tale. A Tall Tale is a story about a person who is larger than life. The descriptions in the story are exaggerated, much greater than in real life. This makes the story funny. Long ago, the people who settled in undeveloped areas in America told tall tales. After a hard day's work, people gathered to tell each other funny stories. Some people say Paul Bunyan was the creation of storytellers from the middle western Great Lakes area of the United States. Other people say the stories about him came from French Canada. Here is Shep O'Neill with our story about Paul Bunyan.
Many years ago, Paul Bunyan was born in the northeastern American state of Maine. His mother and father were shocked when they first saw the boy. Paul was so large at birth that five large birds had to carry him to his parents. When the boy was only a few weeks old, he weighed more than 45 kilograms. As a child, Paul was always hungry. His parents needed 10 cows to supply milk for his meals. Before long, he ate 50 eggs and 10 containers of potatoes every day. Young Paul grew so big that his parents did not know what to do with him. Once, Paul rolled over so much in his sleep that he caused an earthquake. This angered people in the town where his parents lived, so the government told his mother and father they would have to move him somewhere else. Paul's father built a wooden cradle, a traditional bed for a baby. His parents put the cradle in waters along the coast of Maine. However, every time Paul rolled over, huge waves covered all the coastal towns. So his parents brought their son back on land. They took him into the woods. This is where he grew up. As a boy, Paul helped his father cut down trees. Paul had the strength of many men. He also was extremely fast. He could turn off a light and then jump into his bed before the room got dark. Maine is very cold for much of the year. One day, it started to snow. The snow covered Paul's home and a nearby forest. However, this snow was very unusual. It was blue. The blue snow kept falling until the forest was covered. Paul put on his snowshoes and went out to see the unusual sight. As he walked, Paul discovered an animal stuck in the snow. It was a baby ox. Paul decided to take the ox home with him. He put the animal near the fireplace. After the ox got warmer, his hair remained blue. Paul decided to keep the blue ox and named him Babe. Babe grew very quickly. One night, Paul left him in a small building with the other animals. The next morning, the barn was gone, and so was Babe. Paul searched everywhere for the animal. He found Babe calmly eating grass in a valley, with the barn still on top of his back. Babe followed Paul and grew larger every day. Every time Paul looked, Babe seemed to grow taller. In those days, much of North America was filled with thick green forests. Paul Bunyan could clear large wooded areas with a single stroke of his large, sharp axe. Paul taught Babe to help with his work. Babe was very useful. For example, Paul had trouble removing trees along a road that was not straight. He decided to tie one end of the road to what remained of a tree in the ground. Paul tied the other end to Babe. Babe dug his feet in the ground and pulled with all his strength until the road became straight. In time, Paul and Babe the Blue Ox left Maine and moved west to look for work in other forests. Along the way, Paul dug out the Great Lakes to provide drinking water for Babe. They settled in a camp near the Onion River in the state of Minnesota. Paul's camp was the largest in the country. The camp was so large that a man had to have 1 week's supply of food when walking from one side of the camp to the other. Paul decided to get other lumberjacks to help with the work. His work crew became known as the Seven Axe Men. Each man was more than 2 meters tall and weighed more than 160 kilograms. All of the axemen were named Elmer. That way, they all came running whenever Paul called them. The man who cooked for the group was named Sourdough Sam. He made everything, except coffee, from sourdough, a substance used in making sourdough bread. Every Sunday, Paul and his crew ate hotcakes. Each hotcake was so large that it took 5 men to eat one. Paul usually had 10 or more hotcakes, depending on how hungry he was. The table where the men ate was so long that a server usually drove to one end of the table and stayed the night. The server drove back in the morning with a fresh load of food. Paul needed someone to help with the camp's finances. He gave the job to a man named Johnny Inkslinger. Johnny kept records of everything, including wages and the cost of feeding Babe. He sometimes used 9 containers of writing fluid a day to keep such detailed records. The camp also was home to Sport, the reversible dog. One of the workers accidentally cut Sport in two. The man hurried to put the dog back together, but made a mistake. He bent the animal's back the wrong way. However, that was not a problem for Sport. He learned to run on his front legs until he was tired. Then he turned the other way and ran on his back legs. Big mosquitoes were a problem at the camp. The men attacked the insects with their axes and long sticks. Before long, the men put barriers around their living space. Then, Paul ordered them to get big bees to destroy the mosquitoes. But the bees married the mosquitoes, and the problem got worse. They began to produce young insects. One day, the insects' love of sweets caused them to attack a ship that was bringing sugar to the camp. At last, the mosquitoes and bees were defeated. They ate so much sugar, they could not move. Paul always gave Babe the Blue Ox a 35-kilogram piece of sugar when he was good, but sometimes Babe liked to play tricks. At night, Babe would make noises and hit the ground with his feet. The men at the camp would run out of the buildings where they slept, thinking it was an earthquake. When winter came, Babe had trouble finding enough food to eat. Snow covered everything. Ole, the blacksmith, solved the problem. He made huge green sunglasses for Babe. When Babe wore the sunglasses, he thought the snow was grass. Before long, Babe was strong and healthy again. One year, Paul's camp was especially cold. It was so cold that the men let their facial hair grow very long. When the men spoke, their words froze in the air. Everything they said remained frozen all winter long and did not melt until spring. Paul Bunyan and Babe left their mark on many areas. Some people say they were responsible for creating Puget Sound in the western state of Washington. Others say Paul Bunyan and Babe cleared the trees from the states of North Dakota and South Dakota. They prepared this area for farming. Babe the Blue Ox died in South Dakota. One story says he ate too many hotcakes. Paul buried his old friend there. Today, the burial place is known as the Black Hills. Whatever happened to Paul Bunyan? There are lots of stories. Some people say he was last seen in Alaska, or even the Arctic Circle. Another tradition says he still returns to Minnesota every summer. It says Paul moves in and out of the woods, so few people ever know that he is there.
That's all the time we have for today's show, but join us again tomorrow for another VOA Learning English program. Thanks for listening. I'm Katie Weaver.
And I'm Brian Lynn.